Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Why not join us for the Susie
and Sheridan
Show
on Sheffield?
Why not join us for
the Susie
and Sheridan
Show on Sheffield
Live Radio
93.2
FM
every Thursday
1 till 2 in the afternoon from the Steel City within the Seven Hills.
The Susie
and Sheridan
Show.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops that quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippett Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here at Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. We've got a very special show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We have an interview with the legend himself, Russell Watson, and Helen Jane Long to talk about her new album, Shine. So that was coming on later on in the show. But first of all, we're going to play a track from Duran Duran. This is Save a Prayer.
Saw me standing by the wall.
Have you heard? There's a new popular live science show on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. From superfoods to supernovae, we'll talk about it. With the latest science news, debate and guests, stick it in your diary. Live science every Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
And that was Duran Duran and Save a Prayer. Now we are looking for volunteers to come and join me on Sheffield Live. If you are interested in helping out either doing presenting or a producing role, we are currently looking for volunteers. So if you're interested in joining our little team, you can get in touch with us at Communities Live Facebook page. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website. Or you can email me at chrisanelli89@gmail.com. Again, that is Communities Live at Facebook page. We also have our very own website at Sheffield Live. We also have, you can also get in touch with me at Communities Live at chrisanelli89@sheffieldlive.com. .org. So again, we have got another interview for you. We have a real treat for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Russell Watson and Helen Jane Long talking about the latest album, Shine. It's a great album, by the way. It has been released in December last year. Here we are talking about the latest album.
Chrisanelli. Chrisanelli on Sheffield Live.
Thank you so much, Russell. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You can put whatever reverb on it. You can put music behind it. You can have a fanfare, whatever you want.
I'm going to add some bongo drums for you. I think that would be a perfect balance.
I would love that.
I think you should get your bongos out now.
Do you?
I'll rephrase that.
So thank you, Russell. So I'm gonna ask you, Russell, I mean, thank you so much for joining me on Sheffield Live today. I've got to ask you, I mean, who are your main inspirations? We'll start with you, Helen, first.
My main inspirations musically,
yes.
Well, I grew up, my parents played instruments. My dad played the guitar. My mum played the piano. So I kind of grew up listening to them either playing or practicing when I went to sleep. So music's been something that has been around and I relate to as kind of a calming influence. In terms of music listening, it's huge, actually. I listen to a real variety of stuff, things that I've adored, more modern stuff. I'd say things like Muse. I'm a big fan of Muse. I like classical stuff. You know, I grew up doing classical music exams, Rachmaninoff, Mendelssohn. There's all sorts of composers that there's parts. But the key thing with everything that I love, I think, is tuneful music, something that, you know, you can sing back. That to me is, you know, ELO, a great example. But that has been the theme for inspiring me in terms of music types and things that I think I've drawn into my kind of composing.
And what about you, Russell? Who are your main influences?
Well, I grew up listening to such a wide and eclectic mix of music because my grandmother loved classical. My mum was more sort of Cliff Richard and the Shadows and that sort of poppy, ABBA, that kind of repertoire. And, I mean, when I went over to my grandma Watson's house as well, it was more jazz swing type repertoire. And I liked more at that time, more of the modern pop. I was into the Jam. I liked the Style Council and even a little bit of the Who. So I didn't really differentiate between any of the genres, any of the styles. I just saw it all as music. Some music I liked, some music I didn't. So I can't really think of anything that stands out or say that influenced me. But I think the biggest influence would have been that sort of mix of styles in which I grew up, but none in particular, none that were actually specific where I can say David Bowie was my influence or Paul Weller was my influence or anything like that. I just love music. Music influenced me.
Music was my first love, and it will be my last.
I'm so sorry about Russ. I mean, you can mute it or we can just turn off his camera if you like. I'm happy with both.
You know what? I'm happy for him singing, so you can sing all day long or something.
Thanks, Chris.
And I've got to ask you as well, I mean, because you collaborated with so many celebrities the recent years as well. And I've got to ask you, if there was anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
Ooh, well, I already have, haven't I, Helen?
Oh, thanks, Russell.
That's all right. You can pay me later. as regard vocalists, I don't know. I mean, goodness me. If you'd have asked me this years and years ago, I mean, it would have, without question, have been the likes of Whitney Houston. But I actually can't think of anyone vocally that's on a parallel with her. So not at this stage in the pop industry. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think there's some great singers out there. But Whitney was just one of those standout voices that, you know, melted the microphone in more ways than one. And I would have loved to have sung with a voice like that. My dear friend, actually, Jocelyn Brown, is probably the closest thing that I ever got with regards to, you know, with Whitney. And Jocelyn just has a, you know, this incredible, I mean, massive soul voice. And it was one of the greatest thrills was to sing with Jocelyn Brown. That was marvellous. So I've already done that. Closest thing would be Whitney Houston. It doesn't get any better, in my opinion, than those two specific voices. Beverly Knight also has a marvellous voice. She'd be up there too. Great singer.
They're brilliant singers. And I mean, it's just a shame that we're not, that Whitney Houston is not here with us today. I mean, she's such a great singer as well.
Real tragic loss, that was. Tragic.
It was, unfortunately. And Helen, I've got to ask you, I mean, who would you love to work with in the near future if there was anybody that you could work with?
As cheesy as it sounds, I've done it. You know, working with Russell and doing, songs and creating that. This is the first collaboration that I've done with a vocalist, and my experience with Russell was from 2001.
Where Helen, just say that again. This is my face.
I've already achieved that, Chris. Working with Russell Watson. Is that okay? Yes. So in 2001,
that was good enough. Yeah, that'll do.
Did you like?
Thank
that?
You. Back on. Yeah, now. I've recorded it.
Excellent. In 2001, I was watching Star Trek Enterprise, and the theme tune on that was sung by a vocalist. And when I waited to see the credits roll, Russell Watson was the name that came up at the end of the credits. But he wasn't singing as you'd expect in those years of classical music. It was a very
long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time. But my time is finally here.
I love that song. Fear for the Heart. It's such a fit. It's one of my favourites.
Let me wait.
Yeah, I love it too.
See who it is. Let me just wait for the credits. There he is. Yeah, so for me, that was an untapped voice, which blew me away. It was incredible. So roll forward another 23 years, and I was working on a song. I was in a recording studio with my engineer, Simon. And I said that I still absolutely love Russell's voice. And he said, I'm seeing him this weekend. We're working together. So he offered to introduce us. And that was the start.
And then that weekend, my engineer, Simon, was mixing the front of the sound for me. And he came over to me and he said, have you ever heard of a composer called Helen Jane Long? She's a fabulous pianist as well. And I said, I've got to be honest with you. I said, I haven't. And then he started reeling off all Helen's successes. And I felt quite embarrassed, and I forgot to be honest with you. And it was the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the theme tune for the commercial for British Airways. It was, what was the other one you did? Mercedes-Benz theme tune, F1 Formula One team theme tune.
Theme tune to Phase Life's
All right. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. That sounds big-headed now. Don't do it. And then he and then he finished off by saying that, and also Helen has 5 billion streams, which I was quite impressed with. I said, I have to meet this woman now.
I mean, I've got to say as well, Russell, because I mean, you've got a different range to of vocals. I mean, the way you sung Barcelona, I mean, it's a classic tune, that one, Barcelona.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, and Sean Ryder as well. You know, in the early stages of my career, I mean, that was Sean was a gift to me, because the parallels between myself and Sean Ryder were so broad. But yet somehow it all cataclysmically worked. It just worked. And that was one of the, I would say that was one of the biggest catalysts for the kicking off of my career. Because with Sean at my side, you know, I was walking on to, and I think at the time, you know, with Chris Evans and TFI Friday and all those shows and that center spread of NME, the New Music Express, none of those things I would have been on or appeared in without Sean Ryder. And so he gave me that kind of street cool. And yet we were the polar opposites. You know, I was suited and booted and smart, clean living. And Sean was rock and roll all the way. So it was, I think that was one of the best vocal combos that I've ever done.
Oh, definitely. I mean, because I've also listened to Freddie Mercury's version of, and I mean, that's a classic as always. But I mean, the way you sung Barcelona, it was it was completely different altogether, and
I think that's what you have to do, Chris. I think if you, because I mean, my personal view was nobody. This is just my view. No one is going to beat Freddie Mercury, Montserrat Caballé. So why try?
Yes.
So let's do something completely off the rails, completely different. And that's exactly what we did. We did something completely different. And as I say, somehow it worked. The video, everything about it was just chaos, but brilliant. I really enjoyed that period of my career. It was so much fun.
And I've got to ask you both as well. I mean, how, for our listeners at home who want to be like a musician or a composer, should I say. I mean, how difficult is it? And also, what advice would you give to our listeners? We'll start with Helen first.
How difficult is it? That's a question. I think if you are determined and you are confident in your own abilities, and I think there's a very different line between being confident and being arrogant. If you work hard, you know, graft, then you should have the inner confidence that you can do it. That's the key thing. You have to work very, very hard. And on top of that, you've got to have the ability to be resilient to the word no. You know, I have folders at home that I have kept, folders full of no thank yous, no thank you, no thank you. You know, you just got to brush it up and go, well, that wasn't for me then. And you really have to keep going, because people will, you're going to have a no, and it's how you react to that no. So just keep going and don't give up, as much as that's a cheesy phrase. Don't ever give up. As long as you are working hard and you are grafting, then it will eventually come. It might not be as quick as you want. Mine took many years. This whole joke about, you know, overnight success is nonsense. You know, it takes years and years. But then when you do become known, suddenly you've appeared. You haven't. It's the years of grafting behind the scenes that people forget about.
I get you. And what about you, Russell? What would you say to our listeners?
I became an overnight success in 10 years. And during that period of time, during that period of time, there is this philosophy that states that it's a sociological study. I've read a couple of books about this. I think one of the books that I was reading about was Freakonomics, where it actually states that to get to a point where you are the best that you can be takes 10,000
hours, yeah,
of practice and 10,000 hours of practical. And I think probably at the 10-year mark, I was probably around about the 10,000-hour mark. And for me, it all just catalyzed. The biggest piece of advice that I would give to anybody starting out in the music industry literally is sisters and brothers have got to do it for themselves, because you can have the best manager in the world, but if you're not pushing and you're not holding the reins and you're not guiding things the way you want them to be, the chances are that the success will either be fleeting or that it'll take you to places where you don't want to be. And I think that the best advice I can give is work hard, get used to it, as Helen said, and I had to. The amount of times I was told no is, I can't even count them. I'd have a folder as high as the, you know, as high as the skies. I was told no that many times. And the other thing as well is that you've got to get used to is the BS, because there will be lots of people making lots of promises that will never, ever come off. So just get used to the knockbacks. And once you got used to that and you've transcended it, hopefully, then maybe you'll have a success in the music industry. It is a very, very tough industry to sustain a career in. And people, the likes of myself and Helen, are very, very, very fortunate human beings, because I believe that there are lots and lots of talented people out there who will never get heard.
Yeah. No.
And I mean, I've got to say as well, I mean, because social media and like YouTube, social platforms like YouTube have become more in common as well for music artists. I mean, do you feel it's gotten easier now for people to be heard with social media and YouTube channels and that?
I think it's good and bad. I think social media has given everybody a platform, absolutely everybody. I wouldn't necessarily say that by having social media platform, I mean, if you are an unknown and you want your music heard, you can pop it up, but there isn't necessary a correlation between followers and Instagram or whatever social platforms you're using, that you're going to be able to translate that into streaming and people loving your music, because it's two different followers settings. So I think that is a key moment, is you can use it, but, you know, use it wisely, because everybody's doing it. And I think you can be buried in the noise. YouTube is fantastic for putting videos up. That's where we put up our animation. It's instantly accessible. It's easy to use on the move. But I do think that you still have to, you know, be smart with how you use social media.
Sure. And I want to talk to you about your new album, which is called Shine. And it's a great album, by the way. And I've got to ask, I mean, was it a long process or did it come together quite quickly between you two?
Ooh, it was, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, it all happened very, very quickly. I mean, Helen first approached me with two demo piano tracks and came round. I had a little sing of them, really loved them. And once we got those two done, a few weeks later, the phone rang and said, I've got another song. Do you want to hear it? I was like, yes, I definitely want to hear it. Came round, we recorded again. And so on and so on. And the snowball just kept gathering more momentum. And by the time we knew it, we had an album's worth of repertoire in a matter of a few months. And we were in Abbey Road Studios recording, you know, the album. And it was as quick as that. I think for Helen, it may have seemed like a more labored process, because Helen put together all the arrangements, the individual instrumentation, got together the choir and the choral parts and gathered all these people together. And so I don't know how you feel, Helen. It felt pretty quick to me from when we first met to when we got the record completed.
Definitely. It was very quick. I mean, there are thousands of hours went into just from the composing side to scoring up the parts on my computer to then getting them print ready for the strings. The same with the gospel choir. You know, there's so many hours behind the scenes that go into all of that before you even get to a stage where you're taking it to live musicians. You're making sure it all works. But the composing the song part was, I mean, it's easy for me in the sense that Russell made it easy because of his voice was so great. And it was that kind of side to it was much more simple for me because I was working with a good voice. You know, it's all right, isn't it? I mean, it's okay. And I was working with an okay voice. And so that process was quick. But it, like Russell said, it's the other stuff that takes its time to get right. And that's the,
excuse me. What? Excuse me. You'll be getting your wages, Doc, for that. Yeah.
Thought I was doing so well. But it's the first album that Russell's ever had written for him. And, you know, I'm an independent artist. You know, I was signed many years ago to a major label and decided that it was I wanted to set out on my own. So it's been a lovely journey, which is we want to do things a certain way. We want to go and record in Abbey Road. That's where we recorded it. That's what we do.
And I wanted to ask you as well, Helen, because as a composer, I mean, you've done film scores as well for, like say, Lord of the Rings, The Only Hotel and Surveillance 24/7. And I've got to ask you, I mean, did you watch the films before you composed the songs, or did you after David Knight just give you like a script to work on and you had to figure out what kind of music goes with the film, if you get what I mean?
It's a bit of both. Sometimes you get sent over a script. Much prefer visuals because scripts can change. They give you a slight idea of what the, you know, what they might like, but generally if they're coming to me, they're coming to me for my style. If somebody comes to me and wants a completely different style or composer, then they're at the wrong place. I do what I do. And I think that's the nicest thing is they generally give you that trust, which is, we know what you do, Helen, put your mark on this stuff. Visuals is so much easier. But then again, you know, I've released 9 independent albums and none of them have specific visuals, but I create them in my head. So I use music as a way to express how I feel or through words. So, yeah, it's half and half, but it's always nicer to have something to look at when you're composing because you can really see what you're working with. And that's what I did with the British Airways advert. They were using a piece of music already and of mine that they were trying. And I said, well, can I just write something for you rather than you try to use a piece that exists? You've got your visuals. Please, may I have them? So they sent me the visuals and that's how The Aviators came about because I wanted to write from scratch. It would have been a lot easier not to. They would have just used probably the piece that they had already, but it just for me didn't feel like it was the right thing, and I wanted to put the effort in to do, you know, do it justice to how I felt I could.
Sure. And I mean, I've got to ask you, Russell, as well. I mean, because we were talking about it earlier with Faith of a Heart, and it was picked for Star Trek. And I mean, so tell us a bit about that. How did you get picked for Star Trek?
That's a question I keep meaning to ask you as well.
How did I get picked for Star Trek?
Yes, funny.
Well, I kept doing this a lot. Live long and prosper. Eventually they called.
I'll try that.
How? No, you can't do it. That's why they'll never call you. stop it. So I'd been working with a songwriter by the name of Diane Warren, who's possibly the singular most prolific pop songwriter of certainly my generation, who's wrote for everyone from Celine Dion to Meatloaf. I mean, the list is endless. A bit like Helen, really, in her field. And she'd written a couple of songs for my first album, which were received very well. And I remember it so clearly. Because it's these type of things that you think about and you put the phone down and go, I literally cannot believe that's just happened. So I get a call and I see it's Diane. Pick the phone up. Hi, Diane. Hey, Russell, how are you doing, man? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you? Yeah, you get Star Trek over there? And I said, yes, we do. She said, okay, so I wrote a song and Star Trek want to use it and want to use your voice on it. Is that okay? And I was like, yeah, that's brilliant. She went, okay, I'll let him know. I'll speak to you soon, okay? And that was it. I swear to you, that was it. I put the phone down. I was like, I'm going to be singing on a Star Trek theme tune. And actually, I'm the first and only voice that's been used on a Star Trek theme tune. So, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I've got a funny story for you, actually, because my voice was used, the Star Trek theme tune, my voice was used to wake up the space probe that was on its way at that specific time past Pluto. And it was woken up. They used my voice to wake up the probe and start taking pictures of the surface of Pluto. So I'm so excited and so proud about that, because literally the week before, I'd had a call from someone at NASA. Yeah, this was only a few years ago, 5-6 years ago, I think, something like maybe even less. And this guy rang up and I thought, nah, this is a wind-up. There's no way this is real. You know, I can't remember his name. I'm Stephen Suchabody from NASA. And I was like, yeah, okay, mate, what do you want? I'm like thinking, which one of my pals can do an American accent? And it turned out it was NASA. And so they used my voice. The music starts playing. The probe wakes up and it starts to take pictures of the planet. So I quickly go to social media and I write on social media, my voice is being used to wake up the probe that's now taking pictures of Pluto. And officially, my voice will be heard the furthest away from planet Earth in history. And somebody very quickly replied, and that's where it should stay. I rang my dad up and said, why did you put that?
And I'm going to ask you, I mean, because I've listened to the album Shine, and it's a beautiful album, by the way.
It is.
And I've got to say, it's completely different to what you usually do. So, I mean, was that always intentional at the start, or did you?
Well, there wasn't, from my perspective, there was no intention really. It was very much Helen's intention that, because she'd heard me singing the Star Trek theme tune, that she wanted to tap specifically into that noise that I was making.
I didn't want to go and write a classical album. That wasn't the interest. The interest was because of what I'd heard and how he'd sung. I just felt that was a really untapped, stunning voice. And it felt really natural. And so for me, combining my style with Russell's, this voice that was sort of hidden away, was it. So we didn't plan an album at all, actually.
Because the repertoire that Helen had wrote, stylistically, how she'd scripted it as well, it there's no way it would have worked, you know, if I'd have turned and gone, if you wake up feeling blue and you don't know what to do,
No. Yeah, I don't think we would have got past the first song if that had happened.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked. I'd have been sacked off pretty quick. So, you know, when Helen approached me and says, this is kind of how I envisage it, straight away I knew what she wanted. And don't forget as well, not a lot of people know this, but the I mentioned before about, you know, being an overnight success in 10 years. But during that 10 years that I spent in the clubs, I was singing pop repertoire. So in essence, I was a pop artist before I was a classical artist. And so it felt like the most natural thing in the world for me.
And, I mean, we've also watched the musical video for the song Shine and Unremember, which it's about a minute long for the Unremember until 1st of May. Is that right, Helen?
Yep, we have a full-length version coming about. My amazing animator is exhausted. You know, a lot of hard work goes into that, and we come up with the concept from the ground up. You know, we storyboard it, so he's had some really dodgy drawings from me. I'm terrible at art, having to put together the kind of ideas we want for it, and then he takes that and then he creates it into this beautiful thing. And Russell's surrounded by animals, so it seemed like the most natural thing to have with animals.
I think my dog's with. Well, I know my dog's here. Just have a look.
Oh, Muffin!
Oh. Muffin Bear. You okay, Muffin?
Hello, Muffin.
How
there
cute.
We are. There she is. She insists on being everywhere that I am.
She's always been in the recording studio when we've done things as well.
Yeah, she has. She's daddy's girl, aren't you, darling?
Oh, bless her.
She is. A good girl.
Yeah, so that was it, really. It was to have a lot of fun, to come up with something. You know, the album really is about sort of friendships and relationships. It's about all the things that, you know, we talk through, all the things that we've done in our lives, and things that have happened to us, and experiences. And the same even with, you know, Shine being the album, but that song is about sort of recognizing the people in your life who are there for you during your tough times. And that theme carries on through the songs within the album, and the same with Unremember. You know, that's a track about things that we've done in our life, things that have happened, great things, sad things, devastating things. And having that life 10 years later to sort of say to yourself, well, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be the person I am today. So at the time, maybe it doesn't feel great, but when you look back, you can smile a bit and go, okay, well, now I get why that happened, or at least you have acceptance too.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got so many questions that I'd love to ask you. Unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time. I've got about 9 minutes left before the Zoom call finishes. So I want to talk about the album. I mean, it's been released last year in December. So how can people get a copy of the album? Is it physical? Is it digital?
It's both. So they can go onto Russell's website, russellwatson.com, my website, helenjanelock.com. And also it's available on Amazon for the physical copies. They want to get the digital copy. It's available on 150 digital stores, all the usual streaming sites. It's everywhere, everywhere.
And for anybody that wants to follow you on social media, I mean, you mentioned social media before, Russell, but do you have like X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah.
That you can follow you on?
Yep.
All of that. RussellWatson.com is the... the website, and then I have at Russell the Voice, which is X, and then I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram, even though I don't know how to use it. I can't even begin to think about how I would get onto TikTok, but I think I have got TikTok as well, but I don't know how to use it.
But now I know that I'm going to go on and do some TikToks for him, because he'll never know.
TikTok.
That's pretty much it. Same for me. I'm Helen Jane Long.
That's me waiting for you on TikTok to do something for me. TikTok,
yes, I'm going to have some fun now.
And my final question for you is, because I like to give the final word to you two, so we'll start off with Helen first. What would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening right now?
I would like to say, please listen to the album, enjoy it, and take away from it what you would like. We don't put any kind of emotions on it that you must feel this. I want you to go away, sit down, listen to the whole thing from track one all the way through, enjoy it, and just immerse yourself in wholehearted music with full sounds of live musicians recorded at Abbey Road and with a lot of fun.
And Russell?
I simply can't sell the album better than that, Helen. That was amazing. All I would like to say to your listeners is I hope you're having a lovely, lovely day. God bless you all and hope to see you soon.
Russell, Helen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Chris. It's been brilliant.
If you wake up feeling blue and you don't know what to do, take my hand and follow me. There's a place you need to see. Oh, oh, I'm lifting you up when life knocks you down. I'm giving you light when darkness comes round. So shine, shine bright. Let my so shy.
As long as the fires are burning, and
That was Russell Watson and Hella Jane Longshine. And after that, we have played Meat Loaf, I Would Do Anything For Love. Now we're coming near to the end of the show, so we're going to play one more track for you before we do. But if you want to get involved with Sheffield Live and Commuters Live, we are currently looking for volunteers. So if you're interested in either presenting or doing a producing role, you can get in touch with us at our Commuters Live Facebook page. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website, or you can contact me at chrissonelli89@gmail.com. Again, we have our very own Commuters Live Facebook page, we have our very own Sheffield Live website, or you can get in touch with me at chrissonelli89@gmail.com. Now we're going to play one more track. This is a classic tune, by the way. This is Russell Watson and Sean Ryder, Barcelona.
The wind is a gentle breeze. Oh, she blows to me so true.